In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We remember what happened yesterday, that the apostles were jailed, and then the angel came and opened up the door, and they left, and then they were preaching in the temple area, and the voice of reason came from Gamaliel, who was a doctor of the law. And this is what Gamaliel said, "And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught, it will die. But if it be of God, we cannot overthrow it, lest happily we have found ourselves fighting against God. And to him they agreed, and when they called the apostles and beat them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus." This Gamaliel, he had it right. If this be of God, we're not going to be able to stop it. If it's not of God, it's going to die. It's going to die. "And they were daily in the temple and in the house. They ceased not to teach and preach in the name of Jesus Christ." Let me tell you again, the mission of the church is to preach word and sacrament Jesus Christ the Lord, the King of glory, the one who was born of a virgin, the one who suffered under Pontius Pilate, the one who died, buried, and raised from the dead. It is the pleasure of the church to preach Jesus Christ, the Lord and the King of glory. "And in those days," chapter 6, "when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring from the Greeks against the Hebrews." You see, there even trouble in the early church. The Greeks were telling people that the Hebrew women, the widows, were getting more food than the Gentile Christians, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve at tables." In other words, the apostles saying, our job is not to serve at tables. Not that that's a bad thing, but we are going to preach and pray. That's our job. "Wherefore, brethren, look out among you and take out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." And who did they choose? "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word." You see, the apostles know that their job isn't to pay the bills, but their job is to pray and preach and celebrate the Eucharist. Oh, yes. They knew what they were all about. They knew what they were all about. "And saying this pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, the proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased in the number of the disciples, multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and the great company of priests were obedient to the faith." So what did they do? They appointed Greek men to be deacons to serve at table. But you're going to see something. I don't know what's going to happen to these people after the hands of the apostles are laid upon them. They're not going to be waiting on table. They're going to be preaching. But who ends up waiting on tables? I'm sure they got the women. I'm sure they got the women, because when the apostles laid their hands on Stephen and Philip and the rest, they went out preaching the word of God and doing miracles. Do you understand what I'm saying? The apostolic spirit fell upon the deacons, and they went out and did miracles, signs, and wonders, and preached, hallelujah. They preached Jesus Christ. And now we go, Stephen, who was a Greek, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Well, who's waiting on table? They were there to wait on table. But you know what? Again, the power of the Holy Spirit came upon Stephen, and he had faith, and he was able to do great wonders and miracles and preach to the people. And there also arose a certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, in the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and of Asia. They disputed with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit that Stephen spoke. Then they recruited men which said, "We have heard Stephen speak blasphemies against Moses and against God." Okay, they want to put Stephen down because he's too powerful for them. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon Stephen and caught him and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses which said, "This man ceased not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law." It's all a kangaroo court. "For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place, and he shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." And all they that sat in council, looking steadfast at Stephen, saw his face as if he had been the face of an angel. Oh yes, the glory of God shone on Stephen's face. The glory of God shone on Stephen's face. He was the man of God that went about doing miracles and signs and preaching in the name of Jesus. He will be the first martyr, my friends. He will be the martyr that they will stone outside the gates of Jerusalem, and yet he will die in the glory of God. He will die in the glory of God. Then they said to the high priest, "Are these things so?" And he said, "Men, brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham." This is what Stephen's saying. "When he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show you. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran, and from there, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein you now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child." So what is Stephen doing? Stephen is preaching from the Old Testament, preaching that Jesus Christ comes from Abraham. Jesus Christ comes from the patriarchs. Jesus Christ comes from God. They delivered him out of his affliction and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. So what is Stephen doing? He's talking about the salvation history, that Jesus is connected to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. Oh yes, that Jesus is the promised Messiah. Yes, that Jesus is connected. I want to say that word again. Connected with all the people of the Old Testament. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. And then he says, "But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit the Most High dwells not in temples made with hands, as says the prophet, Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things?" Then Stephen speaks, says, "You stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, we do always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so you do. You are resisting the Holy Ghost, which of the prophets have made your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them, which showed them before the coming of the Just One, that's Jesus, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and the murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. So Stephen is preaching against these people that want him dead. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed their teeth. They gnashed their teeth. But Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. They're going to say, this is blasphemy. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Well, he died. They stoned Stephen. Stephen becomes a great preacher. Stephen becomes a person who interprets the Old Testament, that Jesus himself is the star of the Old Testament. All the prophets and all the scriptures refer back to Jesus Christ. And Stephen was there just saying, the heavens are open. I see Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. What happens to the Jewish people? They think this is blasphemy. So they stone Stephen outside the walls of Jerusalem. And you know what happened? Stephen sees God, sees Jesus. His face is shining like the sun. They're throwing stones at him. And Stephen says, do not lay this sin to their charge. And there was a man who put his fingers down named Saul of Tarsus. I tell you, Stephen forgiving Saul of Tarsus and the Jewish people caused Saul to become Paul. Oh, yes, this is Saul becoming Paul. And Saul was consenting unto his death. That's it. Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Let me tell you this. The only way that there's going to be ecumenism is when all of us are persecuted. We still keep on saying, I have mine and you have yours and they have theirs, but we are not persecuted. We keep on saying that we have the fullness of faith. That's true, but I'm telling you, the fullness of faith is a responsibility and not something that is an honor. I'm telling you, the only way there's going to be unity, that Jesus prayed that they would be one as I am in thee and thou art in me, that they would be completely one in us, is through persecution. And persecution is happening in the Middle East. You see that these 300 young girls were taken away from the school and probably sold into slavery, sex slavery. I tell you that in Nigeria, Catholics are suffering. Catholic priests are dying while they're celebrating Mass. And we have no idea of persecution in the United States. Yet, these are our brothers and sisters who believe in Jesus. These are our brothers and sisters who not only believe in Jesus, but who are dying for Jesus. Do you know what I'm saying? They not only believe, but they are dying for Jesus. And what about us? We're still here eating bonbons. That's right. We don't have any consideration about our brothers and sisters, about those that are being persecuted and killed. Yes, in Syria, they're killing brothers and sisters that are Christian. And you know what they're doing with their bodies? They're hanging them up like meat, like it was a meat market. Yes, this is real. This is real. And who's doing this? The fanatical Muslims. All Muslims are not fanatical, but the fanatical ones are killing Christians. They hate Jesus. They want nothing to do with Jesus. They want nothing to do with the church. They are against the church. They are against Jesus. Saul was consenting unto Stephen's death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered. Because of the persecution, the apostles went to the ends of the earth using the Roman roads, hallelujah, throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over Stephen. This is one of their own. This was one of the deacons that was supposed to be waiting on table. But no, he doesn't wait on table. He goes to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, Stephen had this urgency to proclaim Jesus. Do you have this urgency to proclaim Jesus? Yes, it's not given to everyone, but I'm telling you, I have this urgency to preach Jesus, whether I am up or down, whether I am filled or I feel empty. I have to preach Jesus. This is why I was born, to proclaim Jesus in word, in sacrament, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, with signs and wonders that follow. It's my vocation. It was always my vocation. Even at my diaconate, when Cardinal Medeiros laid his hands upon my head, he said these words, "Receive the Gospels of the Lord, whose herald you have been." And I was, but then he said, "No, whose herald you are." And I'm thinking, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are remembering what I have done, and it's only the beginning. It's only the beginning, becoming a deacon, then becoming a priest, proclaiming the word of God, oh yes, proclaiming Jesus in all of his power, in all of his love, in all of his mercy, proclaiming Jesus. For Saul made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, and committed them in prison. Therefore they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word of God. Thank God for persecution, because the apostles went throughout the world proclaiming the gospel. Remember what Jesus said, to go into the east and the west, the north and the south, and proclaiming the good news of the gospel. Then Philip went down to a city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. I'm telling you, Philip should be waiting on tables, but he's not waiting on tables. The apostolic spirit came upon Philip, and he preached Christ to the people of Samaria. And the people with one accord gave heed unto these things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. This is amazing. He was supposed to be serving tables. He was supposed to be doing that job, but now he's doing miracles. He's doing miracles. He's preaching the word of God. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that they were possessed with, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. And there was a great joy in the city of Samaria. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was the great one, or some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with his sorceries. There's always going to be the enemy that's going to try to do things in the midst of God doing things. There's always that counterattack. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered and beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, they were baptized, and they received the Spirit. But when the apostles come, the Spirit becomes, you know, a gusher like at Pentecost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they that were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And you know what? There were signs and wonders that followed. It wasn't only experiencing the Holy Spirit, but the power of God came upon them, like the power of God came upon Stephen, like the power of God came upon Philip. The power of God came upon the people of Samaria as Peter and John laid their hands on their heads, and they said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, remember, he's the guy with witchcraft, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them many money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whosoever I lay hands, they may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said unto Simon, "Your money perish with yourself, because you have thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You have neither part or lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God." Well, you see, this man wants to buy the Spirit of God. I tell you, there's no buying the Spirit. Oh, you go to people who have the Spirit so that you can get more of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, there's impartations. I've had people lay hands on me for impartations. I remember one great prophet that said to me that he saw me in a little room and that many people were being touched from that little room. He didn't know I was on the radio. He didn't know I was a priest, but he saw it prophetically. And he said, "You have no idea how many people are being touched, so many people." I didn't try to buy the anointing. You can't buy it, but it is transferable from one person to the other. When Matthew Williams was with me, I would say, "Matthew, when I'm preaching, just take the anointing. When I'm anointed, just tell the Lord, I take the anointing." Just because it's not only for me, it's for you. And now Matthew has his own ministry, blessing people, doing miracles, preaching in the name of Jesus, touching the youth. Oh, yes. But you see, the Spirit was transferable. The anointing was transferable. He had already received the anointing of priesthood, but you know, he comes into this role with the power of God. He's not just talking about Jesus, he's doing signs and wonders. The same with Eric is doing signs and wonders because they received the anointing, because they experienced the anointing. They were around somebody who had the anointing. I tell you, I received the anointing from Monsignor Walsh, yes, and from Sister Ruth, who's in heaven now. I received that great anointing that I could preach the gospel and I would do the things that Jesus told me to do, that there would be signs and wonders and miracles that would follow me. This is reality. And now Father Joseph is meeting people in the bus and praying with them. It's wonderful. This anointing is transferable. It is transferable. I'm thinking, you know what? I'm not doing very much. Now God's using Father Joseph in a mighty, mighty way, and he's only just begun. I tell you, God's going to use him in a mighty, 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 mighty way, because Father Joseph is open to the Holy Spirit. That's real. That's real. That's real. And so many people are not open to the Holy Spirit. They're open to just doing the same old things over and over again, and it doesn't change people's lives. But you see, you've got to find people that are hungry, people that want more, people that want everything that God has for them. That's what you've got to do. That's what you've got to do. That's what the apostles did when they put their hands upon the seven deacons that were Greek. They were Greek. Remember, the Greek widows were saying, "We're being cheated in the food line." the Hebrew widows are being blessed more than us. We're being neglected, is the word. And what happens is that the apostles lay their hands upon seven people, making them deacons in the name of Jesus. And as the power of the apostles comes upon them, it's transferable. They go out preaching and teaching in the holy name of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, my friend, that anointing is transferable, and I'm going to pray for you that what God has given me, He would give you without the suffering. In the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the blood, receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Receive the anointing of the Spirit, that you would go out and preach the gospel, that when you receive Holy Communion, you would know that this is the body and blood of Christ. Oh, Jesus, I say to your people, receive the anointing of Jesus that is upon me. Just give them everything without the suffering. Pour out your Spirit in an abundant way upon the people that are listening to me, that they would go out and preach the word of God in the name of Jesus, and that they would do signs and wonders and miracles in the holy name of Jesus, who is both Lord, Messiah, and God. May the name of Jesus be praised in our midst. May the holy name of Jesus be praised in our midst. May people be raised up to preach the word of God and not be afraid and not care about what people think about them. It's not what people think. It's about what God thinks. Oh, go into the whole world and preach the gospel. Go into the whole world and preach the gospel in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the blood, and in the name of Jesus, who gives the Holy Spirit fully, in the name of God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time, and I need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.